All right. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, church. You all might recall that on January 1, we began the year here together in church, and I gave a message that encouraged every one of you to go deep. Right? Remember that? We want, as a church, to go all the way and become healthy, transformed members of the body of Christ. So I encouraged every one of you to take every opportunity in front of you to receive transformation, to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ, and to find healing for anything that is a barrier that holds you back. And so my kind of big point that first Sunday was, rather than make a New Year's resolution where you rely on your own resources for self-improvement, let's make a new life transformation this year and rely on the resources that Jesus gives for healing and life and heart change, right? And so we want everybody to become the man and woman of God that God created them to be. And just as much as we desire health and strength and transformation for individuals, we want to be a healthy church. Yeah? We want that corporately as well. And so one of the things that happened this weekend that some of you know about, others aren't so aware, is we had a leadership team from some other leaders in our network, Grace Network, come and spend the weekend with us and do a review of our church. And this review is an opportunity to celebrate the things that God is doing that are life-giving and are strong, and to identify through some objective outside eyes things that need improvement. And so we've had a team of leaders here with us, 9 different leaders from several different churches through the weekend, and we have a few of them here this morning. And so I just want to honor and thank the Grace Network review team that was with us this weekend. And I see Bill and Sherry Copeland. Are there any others from the team here this morning? Bill and Sherry, just wave at me. And church, thank them and honor them for their time. And while we're talking about network-related things, we're a part of a group of churches. And that group of churches provides us oversight and accountability. It provides us training and equipping, and it provides us this opportunity we just had. And there are some changes going on in our network. And in the next few months, we will be transitioning from Grace Network into joining forces with another network to make a new network called One Focus. And that new network, One Focus, will have a focus of being really fruitful in church planting. That's the one focus. And so our strengths as a network that is really grounded in long-term relationships and good balance of the word and the spirit, different qualities and strengths that our network brings will be melded with the strengths of the New Life Network, and we're going to become one network of probably around 30-some churches. And I'm really excited about that. It's a good thing that God's doing and God's hand is on it. So one of the steps towards that transition is we're going to celebrate the 30 plus years of Grace Network's life and honor the leaders that have served us that way. So you'll get more information in your pastoral newsletter later this week. But on February 24th, we're going to have a party in here, okay? And we want you to be a part of that. We'll describe that more in information coming to you, okay? All right, so talked about the first Sunday. The other 3 Sundays of the month, we focused on our go out part of our mission statement. And Catherine, Gordon, and Mike gave us wonderful messages that launched from Acts 1:8, where it said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the other ends of the earth. And so that passage was our launch pad for our go out messages over this month. And so those were wonderful encouragement on personal reaching out and evangelism to the network of friendships we have right around us, and then going broader into our community, and then going to international cross-cultural missions. And I would echo Gordon's plug. Get that booklet and use it as a remembrance to pray for the people that we're partnering with all around the world in this community. Use it to remind you to pray. Use it to remind you to give. And as you pray over it, be ready for God to nudge you in your heart and say, I'm sending you. God wants us on some of these trips, and he just needs our attention to whisper that to us. So take one of those booklets and review it and pray over it, okay? All right, so we've been focused on the go out portion of our mission, and now we're going to move and dig a little deeper into our vision. And we all know what the vision of this church is. And if we didn't, it's on the screen to help you. So let's say it together. At Grace Covenant Church, our vision is to see thousands saved, healed, and passionately following Jesus. Yeah. That is an amazing vision. That's bigger than each one of us. I hope we understand that. So let me give you a little review of how we got to this vision. Back in 2003, about 3 years ago, our leadership team began a comprehensive review of who we are as a church and who God was calling us to be and where he wanted to take us. And we spent time working on this vision statement. And it's excellent. And it's God-sized. It's way bigger than what we can accomplish. You may recall that as we were going through that process of seeking the Lord and strategically planning, and I gave the name for this process, the PPSPP. You remember that? That doesn't really roll off your tongue very well, but it stands for a prayerful, prophetic, strategic planning process, right? And we're charismatic, so we got to have the prayerful and the prophetic in there, right? So through that process, God gave us this vision, and God also, at the same time, gave us some new language for the mission. We exist to love big, grow deep, and go out. And that mission statement really is a wonderful, really brief paraphrase of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission together. Like a really brief paraphrase of those the commandment and the commission. Okay? So I put together a slide that I hope will give you a little picture of how our mission and our vision relate to each other and how this all came about. Okay, so we had this prayerful, prophetic, strategic planning process. It imparted to us a vision statement and a vision to see people saved and healed and following Jesus. And the foundation of that, the reason we exist, is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as we love ourselves, and to grow deep roots in God's love and in the foundation of Jesus Christ, and to take that love and share it with everyone we meet everywhere we go. That's our mission, okay? So this is a little review, and I've put something else on this slide that I'm confident you're such bright people that you're paying attention to. This vision is so enormous that we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to fulfill it. And that's what the Acts 1:8 passage says so beautifully. We will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and he will make us witnesses. So since God gave us this vision, we can rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to pursue it, but we need more. Now, that might sound heretical, but do we need more than the Holy Spirit? We need some other ingredient that is just as important or more that each one of us would be convinced of and know if we're going to fulfill this vision. This ingredient that I'm referring to is the foundation of our mission, and it is the basis of our relationship with God. And it's on your slide there. It's the foundation of everything we are and everything we do here at Grace Covenant Church, and I'm talking about God's love. God's unfailing, extravagant, life-giving, transforming, powerful love is the foundation of who we are. It's the foundation, it's the basis of our relationship with God. And it is we will fail miserably at this vision God's given us if we don't function from a revelation and a grasp of God's love. God's love changes everything in my life and in yours. Without God's love, we are nothing and can do nothing. Now, you know, I'm prone to hyperbole and exaggeration. But I'm not exaggerating here. Without God's love, we can do nothing and we can be nothing. Here's how Paul says it in his classic description of love in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, if I understood all God's secret plans, that's a big if, no one here does, by the way. If I understood all of God's secret plans and I possessed all knowledge and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but I didn't love others, I could do and be nothing. So I want to take a few moments here today and talk about God's love. And I want to look at what a few close friends of Jesus had to say about God's love. And so the first friend of Jesus that we want to look at is John. And John has a special designation. In the Gospel of John, he refers to himself as one of the disciples, the one Jesus loved dearly. John knew how much he was loved. John gets credit for the most famous statement of God's love that all of us pretty much know. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal or everlasting life, John 3:16. When you watch the Super Bowl, you're going to see 3:16 at some point. It is the most famous statement and expression of God's love. John was prolific, and he had a few other really remarkable headliners about God's love. One of them is this. He says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And in another place, John said, we love because he first loved us. And we're going to look at that together in a moment. So our relationship with God is based on love. Our mission starts with love. Fulfilling our vision requires love. And it is all possible because God loves us first. So let's look at a passage in 1 John chapter 4 that talks about God's love. This is John writing. He says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Here's a wonderful truth. God is love. It's true. God doesn't try to be loving. God doesn't have some good days where he's amazing and loving and other days that are less so. God is love. God is the definition of love. And here are two statements, and you can't really tell it here, but I highlighted these two statements that flow from the truth that God is love. The first statement is, we know how much God loves us. And the second statement is, our love grows more perfect. John makes this first statement, we know how much God loves us, without any sense of doubt. He is convinced of God's love. So how about you? Do you know how much God loves you? I think we can agree that there are different degrees of knowing. Sometimes we believe we know something because we've heard about it. Sometimes we think we know something because we've done a little reading about it. Sometimes we believe we know something because we've watched others do it. Sometimes we believe we know something because we have a really good friend who can't quit talking about it, whatever it is. Some of us believe we have 1,000 friends. There's all kinds of degrees of knowing. But the knowing that John here is talking about is a knowing because he believed it and because he experienced it. That's the kind of knowing. If you've attended Grace for any length of time, I think by now you've heard us say that God loves you. If you've read the Bible for any amount of time, you've run into the truth that God loves you because it gets mentioned 600 plus times in scriptures, front to back. But do you really know how much God loves you? Have you experienced it? I want to just make a note and say that God's love isn't proven true because I experience it. God's love is true because he is love. God's extravagant love is true even before I ever knew it or was aware of it or experienced it. And that's what Paul says in Romans. He says, God demonstrated his love for us, each one of us, in this. While we were still sinners, while we were ignorant of it, as the Message paraphrase says, while we had no use whatsoever for him, while we were oblivious to his love, Christ died for us. So the key is when we believe and agree with what is already true, it radically changes us. And now, quick, let's look at this second statement, that our love grows more perfect. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Do you know how love grows more perfect? Well, I think there are a number of ways. One is we do grow more perfect in God's love by reading about his love in his word. And I continue to read about God's love in his word. And I hope and pray you do as well. And we're going to look at a particularly wonderful story of God's love here in a moment together. Some of us are more visual learners. And so sometimes we learn and grow in God's love by seeing a really well done movie or depiction of a story of God's love. And that's fine too. But I want to zero in on what is the most reliable way that I grow in God's love. And I think it'll be true of you. I grow most frequently more perfect in God's love through normal everyday life situations. Times where my failure and my sin gets lovingly dealt with by my Father. It looks like this. God will take some ordinary thing in my life one day and show me how ugly my pride is. Or God will take a difficult personal interaction and show me how hateful my judgment of someone is. Or God will take the fact that I'm a husband and a father of 4 children, and he'll use my family relationships to give me a glimpse of how selfish I am and how harmful that is to my family members. Or some tragic event will occur, and it'll expose in me some prejudice in my heart that I didn't know was there. And as I'm wrestling with the crud that I now become aware of in my heart and in my life, I hear my Heavenly Father whisper something like this to me. Let it go, Merle. It isn't who you are. You're my son. I forgive you for treating others that way. Or he'll say, lay it down, Merle. I've already forgiven you of way more. Don't hold this against him. So this is frequently how love grows and is made more perfect in me, through repentance and forgiveness, day after day after day. Let's look at 2 more verses that follow that talk some more about God's love. Verse 18, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. This love that we know, that John says, we know how much he loves us. This love that we know and this love that we grow in, this love is so amazing that it leaves no more room for fear in our hearts. Let me make this clear for every one of us. If you experience any fear anywhere in your life, it shows that you have not fully experienced God's perfect love. Now, you and I may have experienced some measure of his love for sure. And again, if you're like me and many others here in this room, just experiencing a tiny measure of God's amazing love has totally changed our life. It has given us a new heart, a new purpose, new desires. But if we are afraid and if we fear, we have not fully experienced his perfect love. Don't you want to experience God's love more fully? The answer would be yes. You don't have to go Pentecostal and whoop and holler. Paul, who's another devoted friend and follower of Jesus, wanted his friends in this city of Ephesus to know and experience God's love more fully. He wanted it so much for them that this was a prayer that he prayed frequently. And we have a record of it, and so I'm going to pray this powerful prayer over everyone here in a moment. So I set you up and I said, don't we all want to experience God's love more fully? So I'm going to pray this amazing prayer over everyone. And if you want to know God's love, and if you want to grow in God's love, and if you want God's love to fill you so much that it crowds out all the fear in your life, then I'd like you to just simply take a little expression of faith and just open your hands in front of you like this, and then just close your eyes, and I'm going to pray this over every one of us. Heavenly Father, I pray that from your glorious, unlimited resources, Jesus would empower every one of us. That Jesus would strengthen you, and Jesus would make his home in your heart. I pray that each one of you would know and believe and trust Jesus to do this. I pray that the roots of your relationship with Jesus will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. I pray that you would be enabled to understand, along with all of God's people, how high, how wide, how long, and how deep God's love really is. I pray that you may fully experience the love of Christ, even though it's too great to understand. I pray this so that you will be changed, transformed, made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. In Jesus' name, amen. Knowing and growing in God's love is so good. It changes our heart. It crowds out fear. You'll know your heart is different because of what verse 19 goes on to tell us. We love each other. That right there is, that's a world changer. We love each other. Our ability to love each other comes from knowing and experiencing God's perfect love. We can tell that we've experienced God's love because the guilt and condemnation are erased by his forgiveness. That's wonderful news. That's the good news of the gospel. We can tell also that we are experiencing God's love because we begin loving others the way God loves us. We love others sacrificially, graciously, forgivingly. Another good friend of Jesus, Peter, said this: above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Just as God's love has covered my multitude of sin, now we can express that kind of love towards one another, covering one another's sin. We must know and experience God's love if we're going to fulfill the vision God has given us to see thousands saved, healed, and passionately following Jesus. We can't share and give away God's love if we aren't experiencing it ourselves. Nothing else will give us the capacity, the supernatural ability to love and care and share Jesus with others. So in order to fulfill the enormous vision that God's given us, we start with God's love, we continue in God's love, and we will fulfill it because of God's love. All this talk of love, and I've never even attempted to define it for you yet. Let me just say quickly, the Greek word that gets used in the New Testament for God's love is agape, and it talks about a sacrificial and unfailing love, a love that expects nothing in return. So knowing and experiencing God's love is so fundamental to our lives, you can imagine that our enemy Satan wants to hinder us from ever knowing it and experiencing it. And there are a lot of tactics our enemy uses. He uses doubt, guilt, condemnation, pride, self-righteousness. And so I want to look at this story here. It's in Luke 7, starts in verse 36. It's a story that I believe better than any other story in the Gospels exposes Satan's tactics to block God's love from us. So you can just sit and listen, or you can follow along. Luke 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. And when a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She is a sinner." Then Jesus answered his thoughts. I believe God does that for us all the time. He answers our thoughts. We're too smart to verbalize the stuff that goes on in our head, in our heart. And so he goes ahead and answers our thoughts. "Simon," he said to the Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." "Go ahead, teacher," Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. "A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one, 50 pieces to the other, but neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt." "That's right," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, "Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love." And then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." As the men at the table said among themselves, "Who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This story reveals in a wonderful way the contrast of two types of people who struggle to understand God's love. Thanks, ushers. You can go ahead and hand those out. The one group of people who struggle to connect with God's love are people who believe they are too bad. Their junk is too mountainous. Their garbage the pile of mistakes and failure in their life are too insurmountable. Those people struggle to believe, receive, and experience God's love. This woman came from that place, and she overcame those barriers and that obstacle, and she is experiencing God's love. The other camp of people that struggle connecting with God's love are the people who believe they're good. I don't really need, don't need any help with that right now. And it's, when we read this story, the pride and the self-righteousness of this Pharisee is glaring. And we actually, if you're like me, I read that and say, boy, is he stupid. I would never act that way. Anytime we say never, we're on shaky ground. When we recognize and own up to all that we have been forgiven of, we experience tremendous love. We know and experience God's love by receiving forgiveness for our sin. This broken, immoral, totally humble woman is the winner of this story. She experiences God's love and passionately loves him in response, no longer caring what anyone thinks of her. She is loved and she is totally free. The clean, respectable, prideful Pharisee is the loser in this story. He doesn't grasp his multitude of sin. He doesn't experience God's powerful, liberating love. He is loved also, and yet he remains in total bondage. Be a winner today. Humbly lay all of your junk at the feet of Jesus and experience his love and forgiveness. So I've prayed for you to know God's love already this morning, and I've shared a wonderful story of experiencing God's love, and still some of us may be struggling to connect with God's love. So as we close today, I want to give you a few things to help you connect with God's love. You've already received this half sheet. I went ahead and wrote down different Bible stories and passages. I wrote down different books as a resource. I wrote different songs that I listen to regularly to connect with God's love. So there's a resource. I've even plugged in there a little thing. Some of us don't know what our love language is. We don't know how we speak love and how we receive love. And that is a nice little resource. And I've given you a prayer. But don't be limited by what I've provided. You can flip the sheet over as you go home today and start writing. How do I know and experience God's love? What are the ways that I connect with God's love? And in the spirit of one of the languages of love, gift giving, I have some gifts. So rather than just let you see those books on a list, I have a few of them up here. And when we're done, you can come up here and take one of these. If you love to read, some of you don't love to read, so don't come get it. So there are some wonderful books there. And if you want one of those resources to connect with God's love, use it. I want to conclude with a story and a song. Here in a minute, the worship team's going to share a song that I heard just a few weeks ago. As you know, Mike Souter got back from an amazing trip to India a few weeks ago. And I had been planning and looking forward to joining him on that trip as well. But my application for a visa to go to India never got done in time. It's been 2 months and they still have my passport. So I clearly wasn't supposed to go to India in January, it seems. So rather than spend 10 days in India, I had the gift of time back in my lap here at the beginning of this year. And so I took a couple days to do a little personal retreat and spend time with the Lord down at Smith Mountain Lake, where my mom has a vacation home. And on the ride down, I popped in this worship CD that my good hiking buddy Mark gave me for Christmas. It's a Chris Tomlin worship CD. And so I put that in there and listened to it. And on the way down, the last song of that CD caught my attention. And so over the course of those 2 days retreat, I'm trying to be honest and not exaggerate, but I'm pretty sure I listened to that song over 30 times in the next 2 days. And while listening to that song, I would just, as you know I do at times, I just cried. I cried not because I was sad. I cried out of gratitude and love for everything the Lord has done in my life. I cried in gratitude and love for protecting me, for being my Savior, for being my Redeemer, for guiding me, for forgiving me, for loving me in spite of all of my screw-ups. So for those 10 days that I didn't get to be in India, it was disappointing. And I don't really understand what that was all about. But the deeper encounter I had with God's love on that little retreat was a priceless treasure for me. And I know a little more than I used to how much God loves me. So I've asked Luke and Sarah to share this song with all of us. And so they're going to do that, and then we're going to have a closing, okay? So open your hearts. This is a love song. It's an intimate expression of someone telling the Lord how much they love him in response to experiencing his love. Why don't we bring all the lights up? And I want to invite you to stand. I want to invite the ministry team to come up here. Those who pray for people each week. As is our practice, our habit, you can come forward here in a moment and have prayer for any area you want prayer for in your life, and that's great. But today, I believe God is touching hearts with his love. So I want to make two invitations. One is, if you've been walking with God for a while, but your heart has grown a little crusty and hard, and your love for God has cooled, then I really encourage you to come forward and let one of these team members pray and speak God's incredible love over you. The second invitation is, maybe you have never encountered God's love in the way that we've talked about so much this morning. Be a winner like that broken, humble, immoral woman, and come forward and ask one of our prayer team members to stand with you and embrace the forgiveness and experience God's love, maybe for the first time. And if you are making that kind of connection with God's love for the very first time, I'd love for you to come and let me know, because I have a gift for you. We have a wonderful little book that will get you started on your journey, on your relating to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So while you're standing, I'm going to give you a benediction, and you'll be dismissed to go, and you'll be invited to come forward for prayer. And the worship team's going to, not 30 times like I listened to over those 2 days, but the worship team's going to keep repeating this song, expressing our love to God, and we want you to experience it this morning, okay? Just bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us first. I bless each one here to know and experience your powerful love more fully. Send us out today so full of your love that we are compelled to share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in God's love. Come forward and have prayer for anything you need. Love you. God bless you. Go out.
You are still my first love. And all I am is yours. are still my anchor. And forever I'm secure. You are still my first love.
How I adore.